Open up, first off, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's look first in verse 15. Jesus says, moreover, now let's stop right there for a moment. The word moreover should clue you in that there's been something said before this that's somehow connected to this. But we're not going to look at the previous. We're just going to pick up here at moreover. So, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, now stop there. When he says, if your brother shall trespass against you, keep in mind that Jesus is teaching kingdom principles. Therefore, he's looking beyond the cross when he's teaching this. And when he says about your brother doing something against you, or trespassing against you, he's speaking primarily, he's speaking about Christians, you know, your brother in the Lord. And he says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother, or you restored him. Restored him to what? Well, we'll find out later. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now these last three verses, verses 18 through 20, have you ever read these before? Heard these preached before? Where it says, you know, whatever you bind on earth, you know, whatsoever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loosed in heaven. And if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So we teach the prayer of agreement, do we not? And what exactly are we supposed to be agreeing on? In other words, if we're talking about the prayer of agreement, then what are we supposed to be praying about? Well, see, when you pull verses 18 through 20 out, pray about anything you want. I mean, if you don't leave verses 1 through 17 in front of verses 18, 19, and 20, then you can pray about anything you want. Can't you? I mean, look at it. Doesn't it say, if you bind anything on earth, it'll be bound, and if you loose anything, it'll be loose, and if two of you shall agree, then it'll be done for them of my Father in heaven. So basically, you just take verses 18, 19, and 20, and whatever you figure out you want to bind or whatever you want to loose, go ahead and bind it and loose it. Whatever you want to pray about, go ahead and pray about. Go ahead and stand in agreement and pray about it. Doesn't matter. Pray about whatever you want. Pray about, you know, your neighbors or, you know, your aunts or uncles, your job, your money. I mean, pray about anything. Because the Bible says, if two of you shall agree, then it'll be done. So then you end up with people running all over the place looking for somebody to agree with them in prayer. I've had people call me, Brother Martin, yes. Would you agree with me in prayer so we can get so-and-so saved? It's like, well, okay. Would you agree with me in prayer so that, you know, I can get healed or so that somebody can get healed? And I've had people send me emails. Would you agree with me? You know, stand in agreement with me. You know, tippy-tap on the computer. Would you agree with me in prayer? Send. They want me to agree with them in prayer about a certain thing. People come up to the altar during prayer time. You know, I just want you, Brother Martin, to be in agreement with me in prayer. You know, because the Bible says we're two or more are touching and agreed and it'll be done and so forth. And so it's like, okay, you know, well, let's pray. So we pray. And there are some folks that, you know, they almost get desperate. if they can't find somebody to agree with them in prayer. Well, when you look at verses 18, 19, and 20, it sure looks that way, doesn't it? Let's look at something. Leave a marker here in Matthew 18. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 13. Jesus says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, now, he didn't say anything about having somebody agree with you here. He just said, if you ask in my name, it'll be done. Look over in Mark 11. Mark 11. Take a look at verse 23. Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Conspicuous by its absence, is there any reference here about having anyone to agree with you? Can you see that it's missing? So, over in Matthew, Jesus is teaching us, well, if any two of you shall agree on anything, then it'll be done. But then when we get over to John, and we get over to Mark, all of us, it's like he's forgotten what he said in Matthew. And he says, just ask in my name, and it'll be done. And if you have faith and believe when you pray, believe you receive, you'll have it. It's like, well, which is it, Jesus? I mean, am I supposed to pray here on my own and believe that I receive? Or am I supposed to do Matthew chapter 18 and find somebody to agree with me in prayer? What is it? What am I supposed to do? Well, I don't know about you, but I think that sounds kind of confusing. Doesn't it? Look back over in Matthew 18. Jesus said over in John and over in Mark, whatever you are praying for, if you believe you receive and you ask in my name, then you'll have it. So, okay, well, you know, I need a job. I believe I receive. Pray. I need finances or healing or a place to live or a car or whatever it would be. So, you know, I pray, and I believe that I receive, and I pray in Jesus' name and so forth. And I need direction for my ministry. I need wisdom for my life. I need, you know, whatever. So I pray in Jesus' name. I believe that I receive. Then I get over here to Matthew 18, and he talks about that if two of you shall agree as touching anything, it'll be done for them by the Father. So where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Well, does that mean that if I don't have somebody with me, he's not in the midst? That I'm there alone? And if that's true, then what in the world is he talking about? Ask in his name and he'll do it. What's he talking about when he says, if you believe you receive when you pray, you'll have it? Sounds to me like he's there. But over here in Matthew, I have to have somebody with me. Well, look at this. In the context of Matthew 18, 15 through 20, what is he talking about? Look closely at this. What he's talking here, look, in verse 15, if your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault. If he hears you, then you've gained thy brother. Okay? Now, he's trespassed against me. But what's the real problem here? The real problem is his relationship with God. His trespass against me is a byproduct of the issues that he has between himself and God. And the problem is not God. The problem is this guy. He's not walking in the love of God. He's not where he needs to be in that relationship with God. Because if he were, he wouldn't be trespassing against me. Okay, well, what would an example be? You know, he stole my car. You know, I loaned him my car. He went out and he wrecked it. And he thinks it's my fault. Well, technically, maybe, because I was so dumb, I let him have it. But he borrows my car and he wrecks it. And to him, it means nothing that everything on the inside of the car burned up. And what I mean, it just, you know, he hands me the keys back and says, well, sorry. Better luck next time. Or maybe he borrows my car and he loans it to somebody else and that person drives to Moscow. So now I'm out of a car. But it's not his fault. In other words, tough luck for you. He trespasses against me. The problem is not that he's done me wrong, even though that is a problem. The real problem is his relationship with God, because obviously something's not working on the inside, as in conviction, meaning he's not paying attention to the voice of his spirit. So he didn't care. I mean, you know, he'll lie, he'll cheat, he'll be mean to me, he'll speak mean things to me. He'll just treat me wrong, whatever, steal things. What? He will trespass against me. And the Lord says, listen, go to him and just, you know, talk it over. And if he hears you, then you've gained your brother. In other words, if he hears me, it's not when I go to him, I'm not going to be focusing so much on what he's done to me. It's about, look, man, this isn't right between you and God. Even if you never talk to me again, you know, you need to make this right between you and the Lord. And he says, now, if you do that, and if that's how he responds, if he responds in the correct way, then he's been restored. You've gained your brother. But if he doesn't, then you need to take one or two witnesses with you. And you discuss this in front of the witnesses. But if he doesn't hear them, verse 17, in other words, he says, I don't know who you people think you are.
Judge not, lest you be judged.
He says, I'm not going to, you know, get out of my face. Jesus says, well, then tell it to the church. Now, okay, now think with me for a moment. When he says tell it to the church, do you really think he's talking about just, you know, having a guy standing up in the local congregation on a Sunday morning and saying, okay, now everybody avoid Bob because he's a jerk. And here's what he did to me. Do you really think this is what he's talking about? Well, some people do.
Make him tell it to the church. Stand up, tell everybody what a bum he is.
To Jesus, what is the church? It's the body of Christ. In other words, put out a warning. You see the problem with this teaching, verse 17, tell it to the church. The problem with this is that you got to have some mature Christians that you tell it to. Because most Christians are just flat out too immature, they can't handle the information that you would share. It would become the gossip highlight. You know, it'd be on gospelgossip.com. You know, log on to your church and find out what's going on. That's why this verse 17 is a very difficult one to apply in the widest scope. And he says, well, you know, if the mature believers in the church can't have an impact on him, he says, then what you do is you treat him as a heathen and a publican. In other words, you treat this guy as somebody who's lost. There are a lot of Christians out there that have really worked their way to the last part of verse 17. And he turns around and he says in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done for them of the Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Okay, now verses 18 through 20, what's the focus of the prayer and what's the focus of the agreement? What's the focus of the binding and the loosing? It's the brother that's trespassed. It's not your health. It's not your kid's salvation. It's not your new car. It's not your job. It's all about restoration for somebody in the body of Christ who's messed up. That's what this is about. The problem is, when people read verses 18, 19, and 20, that's all they focus on. Get two to agree with you. Get somebody, get at least a person to agree with you. People read verses 18, people preach verses 18, 19, and 20, and leave out everything else that's taught in here. And it has nothing to do with you getting another job. It has everything to do with a brother or a sister in the Lord who's gone off the deep end. And listen, anybody, any person who professes Christ, but they get off and they're doing this, they've gone off the deep end. I'm not saying that they're climbing trees and barking at the moon. What I'm saying is, from a spiritual standpoint, they've gone off the deep end. They're searing their conscience to the work that God's trying to do to draw them back into fellowship with Him. Our responsibility is to try to restore them. This is what it talks about over in Galatians, where it talks about, you know, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, that we're supposed to restore such a one in meekness and so forth. That's what this is talking about. This whole thing of the prayer of agreement, the binding and the loosing, you know, very briefly, it has to do with spiritual warfare on behalf of the person who just doesn't care anymore. They've given in to the influence of Satan to the point that they don't care what they say. They don't care. They would even stand face to face with a pastor and mouth off, and don't, they don't even care anymore. They would criticize. They'll do wrong. They'll steal. It doesn't matter anymore. And so what you have is a very serious condition, because this person is headed in the direction of not just being referred to as a heathen and a publican, but they're headed in the direction of becoming a heathen and a publican. What Jude talks about, twice dead. And so this whole issue of the binding, the loosing, it's spiritual warfare as far as the work that Satan's trying to do. The people that are being in agreement, what they're being in agreement about is the restoration of the brother back to fellowship with God. Whether or not the fellowship between us is ever restored, the fellowship with God's got to be restored, because this person could do me wrong and move to India, and I never see them again, never communicate with this person again. But they still need to be restored in their fellowship with God. Whether they ever apologize to me is irrelevant. Whether they ever restore to me that which is that they stole, whether they ever come and ask me to forgive them, it's completely irrelevant. I don't live for them to come to me and ask me to forgive them. I don't live for them to come to me and return the money that they stole. That's not what this is about. It's about them and God. This is a hard thing for a lot of Christians to understand, especially when you start messing up their doctrine based on verses 18, 19, and 20. And this is preached all the time turn on the TV sooner or later, just watch it long enough, you're going to hear a preacher get on there and talk about how, you know, find somebody to be in agreement with you to get your prayers answered. Send your offering in and we'll be in agreement with you to get your prayers answered. Some of them believe you have to join hands. Now join hands with me so we can be in agreement. Well, see, again, that is not what verses 18, 19, and 20 are talking about. Now, the problem is this. When somebody comes to you and they're trying to find somebody to agree with them in prayer, that is not the time to try and teach this. That's not the time to try and correct them. Okay, so they believe wrong, all right? Their motives are right, their attitude, their heart is right, but out of ignorance, out of believing wrong teaching, they bought it, and listen, I think all of us have probably believed 18, 19, and 20. You know, got to find somebody to agree. I think we've all been there before. But when somebody comes to you, that's why when someone comes to me, and they, well, Brother Martin, please agree with me in prayer. That it's like, okay, let's pray. Let's pray with them. Because that's not the time to try and correct them. In the ignorance of their misunderstanding, they're going to take it personally. You don't want to pray with me, do you? No, that's not it. It's just that, you see, you have to go back to verse 1 and work your way through to verse... That is not the time. Just pray with them. Just pray with them. And they'll walk away happy, believing that God's going to work a miracle. And then when it doesn't happen, they'll half blame you. But that's the price you pay for keeping peace. Give them a copy of this tape. But at the moment of prayer, that's not the time to stir things up. You just go ahead and pray. Jesus said, see, here's the thing. If you're all alone and there's nobody around, your cell phone's broken, who are you going to find to agree with you? What if you're out on the mission field and you're it? Who are you going to find to agree with you? Taking it a step further, who did Jesus have to agree with him?
How many Christians could he run to and say, oh, come on, we got to pray in agreement and believe it?
Worse than anybody. But I can show you in Scripture the prayer of agreement that is the most perfect prayer of agreement that can exist. And it's guaranteed to be answered. Absolutely guaranteed to be answered. Look over first in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See, a lot of times when people come to you and ask you to be in agreement with them, to pray with them about stuff, I've had people come to me, let me use this as an example, I've had people come to me, even, you know, standing up here, I've had people come to me and they've wanted me to be in agreement with them. Would you join with me and be in agreement? And how many times when they say that, it's, their hands are coming out. Would you join with me in agreement that, you know, then they tell me what the prayer request is. And I know I can't pray that way. I absolutely cannot pray that way. But that's the thing that's burning in their heart. And I know better than to take the next half hour to try to teach them in the prayer line. I didn't say, if you got anything you want me to teach you, come up to the blue line. I said, if you got anything you want me to pray with you about, come up to the line. So they come up. Would you pray with me about, would you join with me in prayer about, would you stand in agreement with me? And it's like almost every time the hands come out. As soon as I see those hands start to raise, I know what's coming. So, and then I say, well, you know, let's pray about, you know, whatever. And I can't pray that way. What they're asking is something that they think they need. But it's not necessarily something that God might think they need. I'll give you an example, okay? Just an example. But please don't make a doctrine out of this. Brother Martin, would you please pray with me that I get a job down at the ABC company? Well, no. But I'll tell you what I will do. Now, I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. I'll pray with you in a way that you think I'm praying for you to get the job at the ABC company. You say, well, how do you do that? Very simple. Father, in Jesus' name, you know that Susie is standing here about this job situation. And Father, you know, you've got a perfect plan for her life. And in Jesus' name, we lift this job situation up to you. And we just pray, Father, that you would intervene, that your will would be known, and that, Father, she's going to get the job that she needs, the job you've got established for her. Now, in her mind, she's thinking, yeah, ABC, ABC company, I'll be working there soon. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not thinking ABC company, and I'm not asking for ABC. I'm asking for God's will to work out. You see this? There's a whole lot of difference in that. And that's just a single example of what that's why sometimes I'm up here kind of whispering. Because I don't want everybody to know what, anyhow. So, sometimes people want you to agree with things, with you on things that, you know, you know you can't pray about. The way they want you to pray, you just can't. So you kind of do an end around, but they think you're praying that way. But there are times for us when we think we know what's best. God's checked me on this more than once. Won't go into all the, like Gary Carpenter says, you know, it's one of those none your prayers, you know, it's none your business. God's checked me on some things that I used to pray about. Oh God, hallelujah, I'm going to say Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. And it's like he's come back and he's not, you know, pointed his finger at me and said, you know, you're not praying right. It's on the inside. Like, you know, rethink this. It's like, okay, yeah. We'll try it the other way. And sometimes, instead of asking for something specific, I present my ideas to God, then turn around and say, well, really, kind of follow the pattern of Jesus, quote from him, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know how I feel about this. You know what I want. You know what I'm thinking and so forth. And I've got all these perfect plans, God. I mean, they're perfect because I thought of them. So therefore, I lift this up to you, but I'm not going to be upset if it doesn't work out. Instead, Father, I just want your perfect will because after all, you know, I'm just stewarding this ministry. You're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you're God, you're Father, and all this other. I'm just here helping you to accomplish what you want done. This over here might not be what you want done. So, your will, not mine. But, again, it sure sounds like a good idea. That's a whole lot different. You know, oh God, I want this car, give me this car. Oh God, I want this car, give me. Oh God, I want this house, give me this house. Oh God, I want this. Can you see the difference in this? Now, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're supposed to have, you know, this thing over here, whatever it is, then it's right to pray for it. But quite frankly, guys, most Christians really don't know what to pray about. I'm talking about the real specifics. Do I go here or do I go there? Do I buy this? Do I buy that? You know, most people don't know. They really don't. It's because most Christians don't really understand about how to receive God's will. And it's not said to be mean. It's just that's just the way it is, generally speaking, in the body of Christ. So we depend upon our feelings. And yet, when it comes to this whole thing of the prayer of agreement, man, you've got Christians running around all over the place getting people to agree with them in prayer about things that God is never going to answer. Now, granted, you want your kid off drugs? So does God, okay? But you don't want your kid to marry Bobby? How do you know that's not what God wants? Because Bobby is a drug dealer. Well, I didn't say marry him now while he's a drug dealer. Do you see what I'm saying? This is where a lot of Christians get messed up. Instead of, okay, Bobby, the drug dealer, instead of you praying for your, I'm not saying don't pray for your daughter to break up. Nobody wants their daughter dating a drug dealer, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here tonight. Sure, pray for her eyes to be opened, but don't you think you ought to pray for Bobby, the drug dealer, to become Bobby, the born-again believer? See what I mean? Most Christians are so caught up in their own feelings and perceptions, what they think, that they miss the overall picture. And they most of the time they really don't understand what God's will is, but there is somebody who does know. And you know where I'm leading on this. The Holy Spirit knows every aspect about God's will for your life. Not only that, but He knows everything you should be praying about. The problem is, most of the time, again, we don't know all the details we should be praying for. And this is why God said what He says here in Romans chapter 8, in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see that? Now, how do you think that the Holy Spirit does this kind of prayer? Well, you know the answer to this. But let's just for a moment pretend we don't know. Do you think that He runs to the throne of God, gets down on His knees and says, O Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And Father, this is what you need to do in Joe's life, and in Susie's life, and in Bobby's life, and in Mary's life. And is that what He does? Is that how He makes the intercession? Does He go before the throne of God and act like a lot of Christians? Screaming and yelling, oh God, come through for me. There He is, third person of the Godhead, before the throne of the Father. Oh God, come through for Bobby. No. The way that He intercedes, you and I both know, is when we pray in tongues. Okay, now, let's think about this whole process of praying in tongues, just for a moment here. In fact, look back over, or turn to 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Let me ask you a question. If that's true, which obviously it is, this means that when I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to anybody in a way that they can understand. I mean, you could line up a representative from every known language on planet Earth, And as I'm praying in tongues, they're not going to know what I'm saying because I'm speaking to God. How easy is it going to be for you to join hands and be in agreement with me when I'm doing verse 2? How can you be in agreement with me when you don't have a clue what I'm saying? Do you understand? Now, by faith, you can be in agreement because you know it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, we can join hands together. Got to pray in agreement. Hallelujah. And I can just stand there and start rambling off in tongues. You don't have a clue what I'm saying, but you would be right in saying, amen, so be it, Lord. Amen, so be it, Lord. You definitely would be right in that. But you wouldn't know what I'm saying, so you couldn't walk away from that prayer and say, well, I'm standing in agreement with Susie over such and such. Because you wouldn't know. And some people would say, well, yeah, but you know, we'll go to God and we'll pray with the understanding, and then we'll say, now, God, we're going to pray in tongues about this, and start praying in tongues. But what if when you prayed with the understanding, you were praying incorrectly? You think the Holy Spirit is going to step in and start praying in tongues through you incorrectly? Of course not. He's going to have to... Here you've been joining hands, praying with the understanding, praying in agreement, hallelujah, no God, humma, 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 no God, humma, 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 in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we're going to pray in tongues about this. Oh, shama, shama, lama, dama. And you start praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit has to say, okay, Father, what you heard for the last 15 minutes, forget it. I know you're not going to answer it. I know you're not going to do anything. It's completely out of your will. It's completely out of your will revealed in your word. But now that they've allowed me to start praying through them, I'm going to straighten some things out. Here's, Father, what we really need. Tongues, 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 tongues. You see what I'm saying? Okay, now, I'm praying out of my spirit, which is what verse 14 says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Okay? Now, even in my spirit, I still don't understand everything about God's perfect will for me or for my life, or everything that God wants done. But my spirit is praying. Okay, now, here's where this whole concept of the prayer of agreement comes into play. What I've referred to as the perfect prayer of agreement. There are some things I know I can pray about, and I'm going to be right. God wants every one of your family members born again. He wants them filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can see these things in God's Word. He wants every one of you, every one of us, healed in our bodies. We know that. That's what He says. So see, I can pray with the understanding and know that I'm praying correctly as far as many things are concerned. But there are a lot of things that I can't pray with the understanding about concerning your life or my life, your ministry, my ministry. I really don't know. And unless God gives me some kind of divine revelation, or you share with me a divine revelation that God's given to you about something that I wouldn't know how to pray. And quite frankly, over the years I've had some people come to me and share divine revelation about God's will for their lives. And I know that I know that I know this ain't God. This is want. This is you. This is what you're hoping for, but it's not God. And I've had people, you know, just remember, pray for me about and pray with me and be in agreement with me about, you know, whatever. And best thing I can say is, I'll pray. Now, I didn't say I was going to pray in agreement with them. And my prayer might be, oh, God, open their eyes to see they are so far off base on this. When I want God's will to be done, His perfect will, I don't have to first understand all of it in order to pray about it. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, or it may not. I don't have to understand every aspect of God's will for my life before I can start praying about it, because the Holy Spirit already knows God's will for my life. He knows God's will for my ministry. He knows God's will for my family. He knows God's will, whatever it is, it concerns me. He knows it. And He knows it from before I was born to the time I'll stand in heaven. He knows God's will for my life for my entire time on this planet. I don't. But I want it accomplished. In other words, Father, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven for me and my life. Okay, that's my prayer. I want it done. I don't understand it all. Listen, right now in this room and everybody listening to this, I'd be willing to guess there's probably not one of us who yet knows the absolute perfect step-by-step will of God for our lives tomorrow. Now, it's probably not the thing we want to admit, but you understand what I'm saying. There may be some aspects of God's will tomorrow He's not going to reveal to us until tomorrow. But I still want it done. Now, I'm kind of in a quandary. I don't know what to do. I don't know exactly how to pray about this. But there is somebody who does know. And that's the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. If I don't pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit doesn't get to intercede. In other words, He's waiting for me to start praying in tongues so that He can communicate with me on a spiritual level and deliver to my spirit, not my mind, because He says here in verse 14 that, but my understanding is unfruitful. He can deliver to my spirit every word, every syllable, to the prayer that I need to pray at that particular moment. And He's standing there. Now capture this. He's standing there with all of this information. I mean, from before the foundation of the world, He has all of this information about me. He knows it. He knows everything about God's perfect will for my life. And so He's standing there. And here's the thing that's so ironic. He's the one who's looking for somebody to be in agreement with Him. Think about it. Because you see, when you pray in tongues, it's the guaranteed perfect prayer. When you pray in tongues, you can't pray amiss. Because you're not the one who is creating the prayer, you're the one who's delivering the prayer. But your understanding is unfruitful. As you pray in tongues, that prayer is somehow, some way going to be answered. It's guaranteed. Now think about it. Every time you pray in tongues, whatever it is you're praying in tongues, somehow, to some degree, that prayer is going to be answered. You say, well, how do you know that? It's the perfect prayer. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. It comes from, I mean, He's gone to the file cabinet of heaven. God opens it up and He pulls out your file. Unless He's gone computer. Then He just pulls you up on His hard drive, the heavenly hard drive. Wonder how many gigs that is. And He pulls your name up. Wouldn't you like to see that server room? He pulls you up, man. There it is, everything about you. And the Holy Spirit, He carries that information with Him. And He knows what to pray. He's not going to pray something dumb. If you're not supposed to have a job at the ABC company, He's not going to pray it just because that's what you want. If you're not supposed to marry Susie or Bobby, He's not going to pray that you get married to them just because that's what you want. He's going to pray God's perfect will for your life. And every time that you open your mouth and you begin to pray in tongues, that prayer is coming out. He's releasing as much of it as He can. I mean, he actually has to slow down the process because it's being converted from holy digital format to human analog format. So the process takes a little bit more time. Because when you're dealing with holy digital, instantly it can all be there. But when you have to funnel it through the human analog process of lips and tongues and lungs all breathing and producing, you see what I'm saying? It has to come out one syllable at a time. Do you see this? But even if you only take the time to get 38 syllables out that constitute 7.5 words, those 7.5 words are going to be answered somehow, some way. They will be answered. Because if God's going to do the praying, I'll guarantee you God's going to answer it. He's not going to ignore Himself. So here's the Holy Spirit. He's got all this information. But He needs you to be in agreement with Him, because you're the one who has to be in agreement to receive it from Him, to deliver it forth into this world. You're the one that does the praying. He doesn't pray in tongues for you, meaning in the realm of the Spirit. He simply provides to you in the realm of the Spirit, Spirit to Spirit, the information you need to pray. The problem is you don't know what you're saying. But He does. And quite frankly, He's glad you don't know. And you can ask Him for the interpretation and He might tell you, but quite honestly, most of the times that you pray in tongues, I seriously doubt that He's going to give you the interpretation, because you might not agree any longer. Wait a minute. What do you mean I don't need to work at the ABC company? Of course I do. Don't you understand how much they pay? Yeah, but don't you understand that the XYZ company, which is going to open in 3 months, will pay you twice that much? And if I move to get you in at ABC, you're going to be so blinded by this recent pay increase, you'll never hear me trying to direct you to the XYZ company. That's why I'm not praying for you to get the job at the ABC company. Well, bless God, Holy Spirit, this ain't right. You're supposed to give me the desires of my heart. He says, no, what I'm trying to do is plant them in your heart. I am trying to give you the desires of your heart. So as we begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit and us, you and I, individually, we now are coming into agreement in this prayer. You see this? I don't know what I'm saying, but I do know this. Figuratively speaking, I've just joined hands with the Holy Spirit. And He is praying. Now, try to imagine this. He is praying, or He's speaking the words to my spirit. Then I'm turning around and I'm repeating them. How much more in agreement can you possibly be? The third person of the Godhead and I are now saying the exact same thing. We are in perfect agreement. But it's just, He's got the advantage. He knows what I'm saying. And I'm sure at times, I don't know if He ever laughs, but I'm sure at times He probably, if He does, laughs a lot at us. Because here we are praying in tongues, and in our mind we're thinking we're praying about one thing and He's on the inside. You are so far off base. But the thing is, we're praying the perfect prayer. Now I'm going to present something to you that it just might shock some of you. If you have been praying in tongues, right this moment, I don't care where you are, for those of you that are sitting here tonight, those of you that maybe you're driving in your car listening to this, maybe you're at home, maybe you're sitting in a prison cell. I don't know. Wherever you are, right at this moment, if you have been praying in tongues, there are prayers that God is working to answer. Right now, there are prayers in the process of being answered. And they're being answered in a way that is absolutely perfect, according to God's holy, divine, His heart-birthed will. Perfect. The perfect answers are coming about right now because you spent time praying in tongues. Here's the thing. I firmly believe that we're going to have a lot of prayer. We have had, are having, and will have, all because of praying in tongues. Have had, are having, will have, prayers answered. We don't even know it. Because God's will is working in our lives and we're not seeing it happen. Because at times it's not happening the way we think it ought to. But it's happening. I think of it this way. Nah, that opens up too many doors. Some of you can look back over your own lives the last, say, year or two, maybe the last 6 months, where you have spent time praying in tongues, and there are some things that have happened in your life that maybe in your mind you think are just things that happened, but in reality, I'm talking some good things, in reality, they're answers to prayers that you prayed and did not know you were praying because you were praying in tongues. But because you prayed in tongues, it gave God the opportunity to work to bring about His will. When Jesus talked about in Mark 11, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. Whenever you pray in tongues, even at the end of the time you spend praying in tongues, you can actually go to the Father before you get up and leave, and you can say, Father, I have no idea what I just said. The last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hour, whatever. I have no idea what I just said. However, I believe I receive the manifestation of these prayers, whatever they are. And you can walk away from that time knowing for a fact it's going to happen. You may not know what it is. And it may happen and you may not even realize it's happened. But it's going to happen. Because it's a perfect God prayer. When you spend that time praying in tongues, Jesus in Mark 11, He also talked about believe in your heart and not doubt. Whatever you say, believe it, and you'll have it. Do you realize that He... Look at this again. Mark 11, just look at it. I want you to see it. This will give some of you something to really think about. Mark 11. In verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt on his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know what messes people up in this is that they look at the mountain thing. And in their minds, they're thinking in terms of them speaking to a mountain. Mountain be gone. You know, like abracadabra, whatever. Mountain be gone. Whatever the mountain is, okay? And yes, that is a part of it, all right? But do you understand that when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking? Do you see how that fits in here to Mark 11, 11:23? You're speaking. You are confessing. You say, well, what am I confessing? You're confessing God's Word. You say, well, how do you figure? The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead, right? If He's the one who is delivering to your spirit what you should pray, and you're the one that's praying it, are you not speaking God's Word? Are you not confessing the Word of God? And you think God's going to ignore that? Absolutely not. The perfect prayer of agreement is when you make a decision to start praying in tongues, because at that moment, you are in perfect agreement with the third person of the Godhead, who is equal to God, who is God, who knows everything, and is only going to deliver to your spirit whatever information you need to pray that is in accordance with everything God desires. So when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you are praying in perfect agreement with God. You talk about the ultimate perfect prayer of agreement, that's it. You know, we can twist and turn Matthew chapter 18 all we want. But if you truly want to see your prayer of agreement get answered, you start praying in tongues. You keep praying in tongues. Don't be weary in well-doing. Because that is a prayer that enables you to be in perfect agreement with God Almighty. And you're going to see the prayers answered. Brother Martin, is praying in tongues the only thing you know how to teach? No. And you've been around long enough, you know that. But here's the thing. I know what praying in tongues will do. I've experienced it, am experiencing it, and will continue to experience it in my own life. Because of that, there are things that are supposed to start showing up in a person's life if they're praying in tongues. There are changes that will begin to show forth if they're praying in tongues. If those changes aren't showing forth, if they're not being produced, if it's not happening, then I don't have to ask, are you praying in tongues? The fruit being born of your life proves whether or not you are. And here is what's so incredibly ironic. There are a lot of Christians who could pray in tongues but don't, or they don't want anything to do with praying in tongues for whatever their reasons, and yet they think that they are on some kind of path for incredible spiritual growth. The bottom line is, if you're not praying in tongues, it's impossible to always pray in a way that enables you to be in perfect agreement with God all the time. And God is only going to pray through you His perfect will as it relates to your spiritual growth and maturity. You pray in tongues, that prayer is going to be answered. The change is going to happen. Guaranteed. If you're not praying in tongues, it'll show.
You say, well, how does it show?
Well, one way it shows, I'm not going to go off on this, but one way it shows is through the questions you ask and the prayers you want me to pray. So, well, thank you very much, Brother Martin. See, if I ever come up to that pretty blue line again for any... No, don't get paranoid. You pray in tongues and keep praying in tongues, you're going to start understanding your ministry calling. You're going to understand what to do. It just happens. That's because when you pray in the Spirit, again, the ultimate perfect prayer of agreement. And it will come to pass. Now see, the same thing is true for me. You know, I might think that I'm way out there, spiritually speaking, very mature and so forth. But I get around somebody that's, they really are way out there. I'm not going to fool them. All they have to do is sit down and listen to me for 15, 20 minutes talking. They're going to know. And that's why I need to keep praying in the Spirit. It will enable me. It's a tool to help enable me to fulfill everything God's called me to do. I need it. I don't just do it to make God happy. I do it because I need it. It's because there's too much I just don't know what to pray about. But the Holy Spirit does. If I want a prayer partner who's going to stand in agreement with me, I can't think of anyone better than the third person of the Godhead. Praise God. Makes me want to go pray. Go ahead and stand up.